Welcome to 3GT, a podcast where a pastor, parishioner, and professor have lively conversations on practical Christian living from a Reformed perspective. For more information, visit our website at 3GT.fm.
Well, it's another happy day on this episode of Three Guys Theologizing, affectionately and in shorthand known as 3GT. My name is Kyle Borg, and I'm sitting in the pastor's chair, and joining me today, as usual, is Aaron Sams, who's sitting in the parishioner's chair, and Barry York, who is sitting in the professor's chair. And you, our humble listeners, get to listen to a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner talk about all things related to whatever topic we came up with. So today we are going to turn our attention. I actually introduced us by saying it's another happy day, but we're turning our attention actually to a topic that is not always very happy. And that is the topic of depression. In a short while, my congregation is inviting a pastor and professor down to minister to us on this topic. Without getting into all of the details, as a pastor and in talking with my elders, depression is something that we feel in some ways ill-equipped to shepherd and minister through. We also, being a rural church, statistics, which you can trust as far as you can throw them, indicate that rural areas suffer with a greater degree of depression than do our urban and suburban counterparts. And since becoming a pastor, this has certainly been something that I have seen and as true in my own community and in my own county. And our congregation has just had a burden to know how to minister to one another and to minister to our community as well. And so we're going to be inviting a guest speaker down to help shepherd us and teach us on that. And I thought we might be able to use this occasion for the three of us to talk a little bit about depression. To get us started, you know, I don't know if it's something people believe or have said, but maybe sometimes we get the impression that depression is a contradiction to biblical Christianity. There's so much in the Bible about rejoicing and being joyful and cheerful. It is, just to help our listeners, is depression something that true Christians can struggle with?
Well, I certainly believe so, and believe the scriptures would testify to that. One simple fact of the matter is so many of the Psalms that we have in the middle of the Bible have expressions of low estate, being downcast, discouraged. As someone has said, 65 of the 150 Psalms contain lament in them. We even have a book of the Bible called Lamentations. So certainly part of our Christian experience is to go through times of discouragement, and even our human experience, it's an emotion that God has given us, which is to be feeling low, discouraged, depressed.
Yeah, it's something that a lot of Christians do struggle with, and it's actually something that I happen to struggle with as a Christian. So we'll probably get into the details of that later in this podcast. But now that I have kind of come to the grips with the fact that I have to deal with depression as part of who I am and kind of how I'm made up, I've found a lot more Christians who are willing to talk about it. And it's amazing how many people out there who are just wonderful, believing Christians who have to deal with depression. And, you know, Barry, you mentioned all the aspects of where it's kind of alluded to in scripture. And it's part of our makeup is who we are as humans. And some of us kind of swing a little harder in that direction than others. And I don't think it's a contradiction at all.
Yeah, I think that's thank you guys very much. Those are both very helpful. And it's so important for us to remember this. You know, I've always been struck in Isaiah 53, when the prophet describes the suffering servant and shows that suffering is going to be a principal part of Christ's earthly ministry. I remember wrestling through that some time ago, and one of the most precious titles that we give to Christ comes from Isaiah 53, and that is that he was a man of sorrows. When you envision the actual earthly ministry of Jesus, you know, I've not personally been convinced that he was a happy-go-lucky, always cheerful in the way that we usually think of those terms. Yeah. In his ministry, he wept, he lamented, he grieved, he sorrowed, he bore our griefs. I think he was a weeping savior. And Barry, you had pointed to Jeremiah, and just very tangential here. I've always thought it's interesting that Jesus was identified with Jeremiah. You know, who do some say I am? Well, some say that you're the prophet Jeremiah. Well, why? Well, I think for the very reason that Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, and people saw that in the life of Christ. That, you know, whether that was depression or what have you, it certainly shows us that sorrow and grief and the melancholy of the soul is a part of and can be a part of the Christian life. So I think that's so important. Mm-hmm. So why, you know, Aaron, I really appreciated what you said, that as you've kind of come to terms with your own depression, you've met many people in the church who struggle similarly. Since becoming a pastor, call me ignorant and naive, but since...
You're ignorant and naive.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. You just said to.
Wow. Not literally. I'll clarify from now on. Not literally. Thank you for that. But since becoming a pastor, I've been really amazed in my shepherding ministry how many people I deal with on a regular basis who really suffer from depression. Why do you think the church, you know, that seems to be a surprise to so many of us. Why do you think this is a topic that people aren't very open about sometimes in the church? What do you guys think about that?
Well, I guess I would start by saying it's not just the church. I think just in general, people don't want to have that label. They don't want to have, you know, the connotations that come with that. Because you hear the word depression and you think of somebody who, you know, is just in their pajamas all day, every day. They can't get out of bed. They're kind of moping around. They got their head hung low. And sometimes that is how depression manifests itself. And nobody kind of wants that association. But I think another one of the reasons it's hard to talk about is it's often very hidden. Most people, when they see me, they wouldn't look at me and go, wow, that guy's depressed. I'm very outgoing. I'm pretty friendly most of the time, unless we start talking about, you know, things like being gluten-free and stuff like that. And then I get cranky. But,
It's the gluten.
Maybe if I just stopped eating gluten, I wouldn't be depressed
That's
anymore.
That's right.
But people don't look at me and go, that guy's depressed, because it's hard to see, and it just goes unnoticed, and you don't want to be the sad guy. You want to be the happy guy. You want to be the guy that people want to be around, and people don't want to be around sad. They don't want to be around down, because that brings people down as well. And there's just kind of a weird dissociation. And I grew up in circles that it just, you know, the whole idea of just people struggling with their emotions and struggling, you know, with their own, their brains and their body chemistry, that wasn't thought of as something other than a spiritual condition. And if it was a spiritual condition, it therefore had to be dealt with in spiritual ways. And I'm not saying that they're mutually exclusive, but it was just not talked about. Like, that was the thing that the people who weren't Christians dealt with. They talk about, you know, they talk about depression, but we're going to talk about, you know, some spiritual application thereof. And so there's just kind of this weird disconnect, I think, of, you know, actually seeing for something for what it is, rather than trying to, I think, overly spiritualize.
Barry, you have anything you want to add to that?
Not really. I think that have a lot of pressures on us, as Aaron is alluding to, that would tell us that it's just wrong to be depressed. I think another thing that really factors into it is the whole pleasure-oriented nature of our society. And when you're down, discouraged, depressed, you can't participate in that so readily. So I think Aaron's really hit. And again, you know, when you come back into the life of the church, you think about the fruits of the fruit of the Spirit were to be peaceful, joyful, those types of fruit, that type of fruit in a Christian life. And it could look as if you're discouraged or depressed, then it must be a lack of faith, a lack of the presence of God's Spirit. Of course, a lot of evangelical worship services are even communicating that to people, where they come in and the whole service is oriented around basically being happy and uplifted, and equating all of that with keeping your eyes on God. And as you've already indicated, that's not the life of our Lord, and he wants us to be real in worship. And maybe we'll talk some more about that. But anyway, those are some of the other thoughts that come to mind.
So this is all very interesting to me, and I think very helpful too. If I can add another reason, I think, or one of the things that for me has been paradigm shifting, is sometimes maybe in our lack of fully appreciating the meaning of the text, you know, you look in the Bible and there's different emotions that are specifically addressed, anger and love and joy, things like that. If you look for the word depressed or depression, you don't find it as explicitly in the scriptures. But I remember reading someone, I wish I could remember who it was now, said, but here's what we need to remember, is that depression is a form of suffering. And when you think about it in those terms, then the Bible overwhelmingly speaks to suffering. The Bible has a very, very pronounced, very nuanced, you might say, theology of suffering. And that is one thing as a pastor I've tried to help people see. I've helped my congregants and those that I'm shepherding, is to say, you know, your experience, I think, Barry, you were right to point out earlier, so much of this can be found in the Psalms. I remember Carl Truman once wrote an article where the leading question was, what can miserable Christians sing? Well, they can sing the Psalms. But I think it's been helpful to those that I've helped shepherd in that your depression is a form of suffering, and the Bible speaks to it. So I think just growing in that understanding as well of what is the teaching of the Bible, I think might help the church to address it more. What are some things, Barry, I'm sure, I don't know if personally you've dealt with depression or in your family, but I know you were a pastor for a very long time. No doubt you have dealt with it. Aaron, you personally struggle. What are some words of hope? What are some words of comfort that we can give to those who are depressed? Aaron, maybe specifically with you, what do you find encouraging? Can you even put words to it?
Oh, man. The first thing I would tell anybody who's been, you know, struggling with depression and has done so in silence, I did so for years. It's only been in the last year and a half that I've actually put a name to this just sense of despair that has just kind of followed me around off and on for my entire life, that gets aggravated by certain circumstances. Sometimes is there, sometimes is not. And really have no idea when it's going to sneak up and just be there. Is you don't have to suffer in silence, is that there are so many people, more than you know, who wrestle with this and deal with this. And there are people who can help you work through that. And there's a lot of different ways that you can receive some relief for that suffering. And the way I started is I finally got to the point where I couldn't function well with my family. I couldn't function in my work. And I basically begged my wife to make me an appointment with a counselor, because I need help. There's something going on that's not right with me. And I didn't know what it was, and I needed help. So I found a Christian man who is a licensed counselor who I started to see on a weekly basis. And we kind of unpacked what was going on with me. Initially, I went in because of panic attacks and anxiety, and we peeled some of that away and realized that there's kind of an underlying depression that I deal with, and that the way I was dealing with my own depression was I was kind of working myself into an anxious frenzy to try to make the despair and the suffering go away. And that was not a great way to deal with it. So once we kind of figured this all out, you know, it took us a year or so to realize that there's an underlying problem. And at that point, he actually recommended that I go see a physician and explore the option of medication. And that's not something I jumped at. It took me about 4 months to make that decision. And talking to my wife, a lot of prayer, a lot of talking. I guess what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot of people out there. There are counselors who can help you work through some of these things. And a lot of people, they can manage their depression with counseling. And I tried that for a year. For some people, that's enough. For some people, you need additional, you know, I would say, pharmaceutical assistance. And that combination of counseling and prayer and you know, support from my family and medication has really brought me to a point. It's brought my baseline up where I guess I could say I feel like myself again, and I can function again. And it's not to say that the depression is gone, because I still can kind of, it's still there, but it doesn't send me into that downward spiral that it used to and has done for most of my life, because I now know ways to kind of recognize those thoughts that send me down there. You know, I have an outlet with a counselor that I can talk through these things, and I have medication that helps derail and kind of diffuse some of those spiraling negative thoughts. So there's so many ways that you can help deal with this. There's not just one solution for everyone. But find a good Christian counselor. Start with your pastor, and they can, you know, find someone to help you work through this stuff. And your pastor may be equipped to do that, but they might not be. And that's okay. The help doesn't have to necessarily come from your pastor. But I would encourage you, you know, if you are a Christian listening to this, to seek out a Christian counselor who understands the world the way that you do and knows that this isn't just a physiological thing, but it is a combo package of physiology and your own soul. So there's help out there, and I encourage you to find it. And if you can't find anybody, call me. We will help find someone for you.
There you go.
Well, I think, thank you, Aaron, for sharing. And I think some of the things that Aaron's bringing up are really important to remember. First of all, that we're all different, and we have a different makeup, each of us. I'm one who just doesn't deal with depression. I just don't ever get really that way. I can only think of one time in my life, early on in church planting days, where I felt that way. But I'm usually a pretty buoyant spirit. So,
What are you laughing at? Can I interject an anecdote real quick that this reminds me of?
Sure.
John Piper and John MacArthur.
Are you going to record this? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to record this. This is because I think it's underscoring this point of differences between people. And so, which Aaron made in your reconfirming here, I was listening to a question and answer with John Piper and John MacArthur once. And John Piper is a weepy, emotional guy, and John MacArthur is anything but. And I remember them talking about pastoral depression. And John Piper starts to weep, and he puts his head in his hands, and he says, "There are mornings that I wake up and I don't know how I'm going to put my feet on the floor. I, you know, this is just a very real burden of suffering," and on, really pouring his heart out. And John MacArthur looks at him and goes, "Are you serious right now? Like, you deal with that?" And I just... So I'm sorry. That was a rabbit's trail, but go on, Barry. You were getting geared up to say something wonderful. So
No. I'm just pointing out that exactly what you're saying, that there's just difference in personality types and chemical makeup and all of that. And we have to be aware of that when we're dealing with people. People are so varied. And I was also gonna say, the woman who gave me birth, my own mother, went into deep depression that put her into a decades long tailspin plus, and led her into other mental illnesses. And I ended up having to deal directly with that for a good number of years. So even though it doesn't affect me like that. I saw it in the life of my own mother. And one of the things Aaron was saying, I just really want to stress, is that there is help, then there is hope. And what a lot of times depressed people do is, because they begin to withdraw and they begin to feel hopeless, they don't reach out in the ways that they should. And sometimes family members or friends in the church see someone acting a little strange, and because we don't quite know what to do, we back away from them as well. And that's just not a good thing to do. We need to be engaging people if we see them discouraged and downcast, and try to find ways to help them. And I think what Aaron's pointed out is really, really important. I think we need to go to the body of Christ, and we need to go to our pastors and elders in our church and get counsel from them. There are many people who will need more than that, than maybe a pastor knows how to do, has the time to do. And so there should be these counselors to help them. I think of how easily in the church, if our child needs to learn how to play the violin, for instance, we don't say to them, well, you've got to find someone in the church to teach you violin. We might recognize that there's a better teacher somewhere else. And when it comes sometimes to things like this, a person needing help, it could be that there's someone outside the church, some resource outside the church that can come in and, quote, coach or teach that person more about themselves, their makeup, what things they need. I think there's also people who can use the help that certain medications can bring. Although I think we have to be aware, and this is a caution I would give regarding it, that we have to be aware that so many people in our generation, and I saw this firsthand with my own mother, are running first to the medications without really thinking about more of the, as Aaron was describing, the fact that we're integrated soul and body, and we can't just do one thing. We can't just push one button and think all of a sudden we're going to feel better, or this is going to be the solve-all. Often, because we are so complex, particularly when we're thinking about here our brains, you know, the most complex organ in our bodies, then we need to be really careful how we're handling what we're doing with those brains, whether it's what we're feeding it with respect to our diets, what we're listening to with respect to the teaching we're under, and what medications that we're using that can either positively or negatively impact it. So it's often a more complex matter than just one simple silver bullet solution. And I think what Aaron is sharing is helpful that way.
So with some of what you said in mind there, Barry, you talked about how your own mother really dealt with this for a number of years, and some of us have heard that. But maybe a question first directed to you and then to Aaron as well. One of the things with depression, we need to counsel, we need to encourage, we need to come alongside those who are suffering depression. Sometimes I've noticed in the mix of that, we forget that depression affects families, it affects parenting, it affects marital relationships. What encouragement can be given to loved ones who are walking through this darkness with somebody close to them? How do you encourage them, especially when, you know, there are people who struggle for years with depression? What encouragement, maybe in your experience with your mom or as a pastor, what are things that you can say to family members to help them in this season?
Well, one is related to something you brought out earlier when you identified depression and suffering. And when someone's suffering, then our call as believers is to come alongside them and suffer with them. Matter of fact, that's really what the word compassion means, is to suffer with someone. So if I'm going to show compassion to someone, I come and walk alongside them and listen to them and speak good words, encouraging words, edifying words. Sometimes, you know, people can fall into depression because of sinful things, and we need to recognize that as well. Sin is depressing, and so some people need a good strong word of rebuke. We have to be careful not to be so scared of further depressing someone that we don't say the right word, but we have to make sure, as the Proverbs say, that it's a word fitly spoken. And yep. The only way that you can know whether it's a fitting word or not is, again, if you're suffering with them. If you come into the situation and you observe it and you're prayerful and evaluating it, then maybe you'll have the wisdom to speak into it. But again, you got to be careful. I mean, one of the main stories of the Old Testament is the story of Job, a man who was greatly afflicted, greatly depressed, and his friends came, and they sought to identify with him a little bit. They were quiet for 7 days, but then when they started speaking, their words weren't very edifying. So we got to make sure that we really understand the person, understand the situation, listen to them, so that we can speak right words into their lives.
Yeah. So, in terms of, you know, family and that kind of dynamic, and now that I've kind of figured out how I'm wired and, what are some of the causes of depression in my own life, I've talked to a lot of my own family members about it. And, I'm pretty sure that this is something that my own father has wrestled with his own life and kind of undiagnosed and untreated. But a lot of my, the way I act when I'm low are very, very similar to the way times that I saw my father kind of, you know, dealing with the world in ways that I didn't quite understand. And so that was weird. That was hard. And I've since, you know, talked to him about this and you know, said, hey, you know, I'm seeing signs in myself of what I saw in you. And here's you know, what causes some of that. It's led to some really good conversations between my father and I and my mother and I and my brother and some of my other family members and cousins. So there's likely a genetic aspect to my own depression. I'm not saying it's entirely based on that, but some people are just predisposed to certain ways of responding to certain situations and you know, genetically predisposed to certain body chemistries that could contribute to this. So that is a contributing factor, not the only contributing factor to my own depression. Mm-hmm. So in light of that, I wanted to be sure that my own children understood that what was going on. And my children are 12 and 10 and 10, and I thought they were old enough to have a pretty good understanding of what I was going through, because I didn't want them to get to the point where they're 40 years old before they actually went and got help like I did. And I was very open with them, especially when I chose to go in the medication route. And that's actually when I started talking to them about my own depression. I can't remember what spawned the conversation, but one of my children asked, you know, they'd heard about somebody who had committed suicide, and the part of that story was the fact that this person was suffering from depression, and that was something that led to them taking their own life. And they were asking, like, how can somebody get so sad that they wanted to kill themselves? And so that in combination with, you know, me seeking some medical attention for my own depression, is I wanted them to understand what was going on with me. I didn't want there to be any secrets. I didn't want them to be afraid of anything. And I started telling them about what depression was, what it felt like. And so the night before I went to the doctor, to ask about medication, I was nervous, I was scared, I was worried, because I didn't know what this was going to do to me. I a couple days prior, I called up my pastor and I said, hey, you know, in James 5, it says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I said, I want you to do that. And he did. And so he sat down with me and he prayed for me, and he prayed for the doctor to have wisdom. And he actually, you know, put oil on my head and said, you know, Aaron, you know, prayed for my healing of this. And then I went to the doctor the next day and I told my children about this, that's what was going on. I said, there is, you know, a physical aspect. There's a spiritual aspect. I'm asking God to heal me. And I'm also going to the doctor for some help as well. And then, and so the next day I came home with some medication, and now my children affectionately refer to it as my brain medication, my brain medicine, or my brain pills. And, so actually today I was picking them up from school and we swung by the pharmacy to get a refill, and they said, is that your brain pills, Dad? I said, yep, it is. They're like, okay. And so the first day I said, look, kids, this could affect my personality a little bit. And I want you to understand that I need you to be my eyes. I need you to tell me if you see me acting weird or if you see any strange changes, because I need to talk to my counselor. I need to talk to my doctor if that happens. And so a couple days in, my daughter said, Dad, I don't think you're acting strange. But I'm glad that you're feeling better and that you're happier again, because I don't want you to be sad. And so they get that there's something going on and that it affects me. And they've noticed that I am behaving differently around them and that I'm just a more pleasant person to be around now that I'm actually, you know, acknowledging the fact that this is part of who I am and that I'm learning how to deal with it.
Well, good. I think too, just as a word of encouragement, if you have loved ones who are dealing with depression, that you are invited, whether willingly or not, into the small circumference of suffering. And it's a great opportunity for the church to not only come alongside those who are suffering depression, but those who are suffering very much so alongside of them, whether it's spouses or parents or just really close friends. The church, as Barry has said, as Aaron has said, that the church really needs to be the church when it comes to addressing this very issue. Well, that's all the time that we have today. We could, of course, talk about many other things related to that, but we thank you for tuning in. Be sure to head over to 3GT.fm and go on over to iTunes and subscribe to this podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Till next time.